joy to be with you and to be together. And we pray all these things in our rescuer's name, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Thanks for singing along with us and adoring Jesus in music and songs. My name is Dan. It's my honor to serve as pastor here today and deliver the main message. We're going to be in the book of John, the Gospel of John. Before we do, our Kids Central kids, would you give them a clap off into their kids' space? We're so... Now, does this mean we're going to lose energy in the room? Thank you. Thank you. Jets fans are a little off. We see that every now and then. We do. Good, good. No losing energy. It's my privilege to remind you, too, that we are putting our love into action beginning tomorrow, this week, by intervening to meet a need in our neighborhoods. Families have a need for childcare. By God's grace, He's aligned the right people at the right time in the right ways for us to open Kids Central CNY and provide daycare for school-age children and a preschool for preschool-age kids. We've got some significant people who are helping to lead us in that area. We hired Betsy Schusler, who is our program coordinator for Kids Central CNY's childcare. Betsy isn't here in this room now because she just slipped away to continue to teach and lead Kids Central Junior. My wife, Raquel, is our lead teacher in our preschool, and we have an ambassador who's doing tons of work behind the scenes in Jeanette Claus. So we need you to do two things. Pray that we accomplish the mission, help make Jesus famous in people's homes, to build trust with our neighbors, to care for and love on their own kids, bring relief during the tension and heartache and turmoil of all of this that's upheaval that is the new school year and the hybrid model and the remote model and the this, that, the other thing. But we want to be a source of real comfort and care for families and their kids. So pray that that happens. Secondly, we are beginning to build a whole team of volunteers who will come in and be the real practical expression of our love and affection for kids. So if you have any time to volunteer, morning slots, afternoon slots. If you wanted to do a six-month-long slot, we'll open it for you. And but we are looking for volunteers. You can indicate that right on the high card in our app. You can certainly pull me or someone who looks important aside and tell them you wanted to spend some time volunteering. And thirdly, another way you can help us is to just refer, share out, word of mouth, and let people know. If you're looking for heart child care or you know someone who is, then we believe we have potentially a great solution. So thank you for giving to help us get a space in place. Thank you for giving your time. And we covet your prayers as we launch into people's families and lives. Everybody doing okay? I see some new faces. You all look younger than you did a week ago. I don't know how you do it, but it is impressive. It's very impressive. Must be all that sunlight after digging out of the cave. We are kind of moving along here in our next series called I Am. And this is the series, Who Does Jesus Think He Is? And now, I don't remember being afraid of the dark when I was a kid. Any of you remember being afraid of the dark? Where am I afraid of the dark, people? I mean when you were a kid, not now. Raise your hand. I don't remember being afraid of the dark as a kid, but I do remember the first time I was afraid of the dark. It was when I followed my knucklehead friends into a haunted house as a teenager. And I remember the panic I felt as the darkness of that haunted house set in. And I do remember that my mom had already warned me that I would be terrorized for the rest of my life if I went there. That's a fact. Hashtag truth bomb from mom on that one. And I remember being very, very quick to kind of divert my eyes to these little cracks in the walls of the haunted house that had light shining through. It's pitch black except for these little dots of light. And I gravitated towards that light and held on and was very comforted by just seeing any kinds of pieces and segments or fragments of light. And at the time, I couldn't imagine a scarier darkness. Over time, though, I've learned that there is a scarier darkness, and it's at the bottom of the ocean. Can you imagine being at the bottom of the sea? At the lowest point in the bottom of the sea, there's something called the Mariana Trench, 7 miles down. Get this, 8 tons of pressure per square inch. Think of that, 8 tons of pressure down there. Surely nothing can live down there, right? Wrong. Only the scariest creatures in the universe live down there. The expedition that James Cameron took 8 years ago, he got a view of some of the scariest creatures on the planet in the middle of the darkness on the darkest place, probably, at least for sure, on the earth. He described a flat, desolate, desert-like landscape. And this particular trench is 50 times larger than the Grand Canyon. You've been to the Grand Canyon. Some of you imagine this trench is 50 times bigger than the Grand Canyon. It has no sunlight. It has no heat. It is completely empty of any kind of warmth down there. And James Cameron looked out onto the sea floor from his little tiny little vessel. And his submarine that he was down there with lit up the surrounding area. And right through a small window, he got to see some of the scariest things on the planet that were down there. And he said it was completely featureless and it was completely uniform, desert-like, except for these horrifying things that were swimming around down there. And he said that he anticipated when he got down that there'd be no life. But there was. So this is one of the things he saw down there. There was just an endless supply of amphipods. Then there was this. Anyone know what that is? Yes, you're right. It's a sea cucumber. And yes, it sure is disgusting. Now, also there was this, the ghost jellyfish. Or you may remember Bob from Monsters vs. Aliens. Bob lives down there, evidently. The ghost jellyfish. Also, there's a Dumbo jellyfish down there, which some of you think, isn't that adorable? Isn't that cute? I find that horrifying. This is stuff of nightmares. And this is one of my favorite things. It's scarier than any haunted house anyone has ever seen. This is a hatchet fish. If I were a fish, this is the name I would select, hatchet fish. Now, the hatchet fish is eating something. We don't care about what it's eating. It's not quite as scary. Then there's an anglerfish found at the bottom of the ocean floor, and I think also found in Onondaga Lake. The anglerfish. You ever seen that one before? This one's semi, I think people are aware of this. So there's also a couple of sharks down there. Here's one. This shark here is called the frilled shark. I'm not a big shark fan, but I hate snakes even more. But I think now that I've seen this particular goblin shark, I'm now more afraid of sharks than I am snakes. Goblin shark. Now, scarier than anything James Cameron saw is how we felt. James Cameron was down here at the bottom of, really, the bottom of the ocean in this abyss. And he says, basically, this wasn't scary. The stuff I saw out my window, he said it was more, how I felt was more scary, was more difficult in the darkness. He said, when I got to the bottom, it was completely featureless and uniform. And then he said, my feeling was one of complete isolation from all of humanity. More than anything, it was realizing how tiny you are down in this big, vast, black, unknown, and unexplored place. The problem is this, that there is a Christian worldview and there's a darkness that's darker, scarier, and lonelier than the Mariana Trench, than the bottom of the earth. Let me say that again. In the Christian worldview, there's a darkness that's scarier, there's a darkness that's darker, and there's a darkness that's lonelier. And here's what it is. It's no knowledge of God. If you are a person of the Bible, meaning you are familiar with the content of the Bible, you will come across this phrase, darkness, 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 on a regular basis. And in the Bible, when God is describing darkness, when he's mentioning darkness, what he's describing to us is someone, a human being with no knowledge of God. And there's another word that we use for that, which I'm sure you will, many of you will recognize, and it's this word lostness, lostness. Now, if you are outside of the Christian faith or outside the church family and someone says, oh, all those lost people, you might take offense and you might say, how could someone say that I'm lost? I know where I am. I know where I'm going. I got a plan for my life. I have some pretty specific ambition and passions in my life. Christians are not saying the word lostness to be insulting. They're describing somebody who doesn't have a knowledge of God as revealed in the Scripture. There's a lostness there. Now, the only solution to lostness is also comes through the Christian worldview, and that's light. Light is the only solution. The only relief you get from darkness is light. I remember it all the way back in the haunted house. I was comforted by one thing, and it was this little speck of light. And it's the only way we can see in the dark. It's only by the light. So we have Jesus, and Jesus tells us who he thinks he is. And Jesus says in the Scripture that he thinks of himself a certain way. Our big idea today is that Jesus thinks that he's the only way for humans to see God. The only way. Also, the only way for humans to see God in, specifically, in their lostness or in the darkness of their sin. By the way, Jesus doesn't say he's one of the ways to see in the dark. He doesn't say that he's one of the lights. He says he is the only light, the only way. And Jesus, of course, we know, and we've said this for a couple of weeks now, he doesn't want you to rely on someone else's words to understand who he is. He wants you to rely on his own words. It's risky to trust someone else's words about someone. It's risky in all areas of life. For sure, it's risky to trust someone else's words as it relates to who Jesus is. By the way, if your life isn't changed and you're around Jesus or you're somehow in his church and your life doesn't change, there's a good chance that you don't know the true Jesus. There's a good chance that you know Jesus based on someone else's description of him, not his own. The best way for us to get to know the rescuing Savior is to internalize and trust and believe his own words about himself. And the only way that you change is to know who Jesus is and listening to how he describes himself. So who does he think he is? Jesus says, I am the bread of life, talked about that last week, and I am the light of the world. We'll talk about that this week. He also goes on to say in future weeks, we'll talk about how he says, I am the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the way, I am the vine. And when Jesus says these things, we should pay attention. It reveals God's character, his own glorious character. It also motivates us to worship. And in the series, we are seeing and savoring who Jesus is in his own words. So let's look at the Gospel of John. If you have your Bible with you today, would you turn with me? By the way, we are going to skim Scripture references today of descriptions of Jesus. So it's going to be fast and furious. I hope you're ready. There is a pretend seatbelt that we have in every chair here. Pretend to put it on. We're going to skim right through. I hope this lands, but we're going to see a lot of Scripture text today. But Jesus here in John chapter 8, verse 12, speaks to the people, and he says, this is who I think I am. And he says these words in verse 12, chapter 8. Jesus spoke to the people once more, and he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. By the way, light is prominent in John's gospel, the theme of light, and we're going to see several references to how John uses this. But Jesus doesn't say, let me remind you, Jesus doesn't say, I have the light. Jesus doesn't say, I know the light. Jesus doesn't say, hey, come with me, I'm going to take you to the light. I want you to see something. You're not going to believe your eyes. This is going to be life-changing. Jesus instead says, I am the light. Jesus is the light for anyone who follows him. He himself is the light. And here's how he puts it. He says, if you follow me, love this, if you follow me. What's the big word there, if? If you follow me, if you decide, if you choose, if you respond and you decide to walk with me and follow me, love this, you won't have to walk in darkness. Human beings without Jesus, according to the scripture and the Christian faith, are lost. They are blind. And the word for lostness and blindness is darkness. That's the word, darkness. Darkness means no knowledge of God. So what that means is you have to be dependent on yourself to find your way. What that means is that you have to be primarily selfish, self-reliant, self-righteous. You have to be independent. You have to have self-determination as to where you go and what your truth is. And eventually you live for your own glory, which is self-glorification. You live like Cain and Abel. You live like Adam and Eve. And you say, I'm going to do this for myself, and I'm going to do this by myself. So when someone is living without Jesus, they're in the darkness, they're lost and blind, and people who live like that are living separated from God. We call all of that living in darkness. The scriptures call all of that living in darkness. Jesus says, if you follow me, you won't have to live in darkness, and here's why. You will have the light that leads to life. You'll have the light that leads to life. Now, what does that mean? It means darkness cannot change its condition. How do you change the condition of dark? Real quick, what comes to mind? You have to bring the light in. You have to bring the light in. The only way to remedy darkness is bring in the light, right? Darkness doesn't solve itself. Darkness doesn't say, we ought to lighten up. I didn't even know that would work in several ways. I didn't even know that. Thank you, Lord. Darkness can't say that. You have to bring light to the darkness. And I love this. Jesus says, you don't have to worry about darkness extinguishing the light. Not happening. It's not possible. Can't happen. Light always dispels the darkness. So light is necessary in the dark to guide and walk us forward. I watched this series called Alone, and 10 survivalists were dropped in the Arctic by themselves and filmed themselves all by themselves. First order of business, what do you think it was? First thing that they did when they got there, find a way to build themselves a fire. Why? Because the darkness will kill them. The darkness will kill them. John's gospel picks up on this light from a rich Old Testament heritage. By the way, what does it mean to have the light? Now, I'm just going to venture to guess here. If you went out and you started to kind of read through some self-help books, if you learned how to say that phrase, and then you decided to buy some books, or you ordered something on Amazon, I believe it's safe to say that when you started to study what it means to have the light, here's what you would discover. That self-help books would tell you that having the light means having a higher intellectual knowledge than the average person, illuminating your mind. I also believe that you would discover in these books that having the light means heightened self-awareness. You're in tune with yourself. You're kind of growing in your confidence as you're more aware of yourself. I think you would discover that having the light means good and kind moral values, that this person is a person of light, meaning they're good, they're kind, they have virtue and value, moral virtues. I also think you would discover that the implications here of this light is happiness and success. Now, you agree with that? Do you think that's what you would discover? I think that it's fair to say that this is how someone separate from God would dis- would describe having the light. They would say all of these things. But here's what Jesus tells us. He says there's three specific ways that God gave light to us, and it's for one reason. It's specifically to see our God. It's to see with our eyes, with our spiritual eyes, who God is. And in the Old Testament, there's a couple of ways that God illuminated himself. And eventually, it led to the New Testament arrival of the light himself. And the Gospel of John picks up on this Old Testament sources of light where Jesus, where God specifically uses three types of light to help people see himself. He uses a pillar, he uses a people, and he uses a person. And he does so to help us see himself. You remember the pillar of light? Some of you who know your Old Testament, God used the pillar of light to help rescue his people. He was present with them right in the wilderness, in the Exodus, and God uses the pillar of light to help rescue them from the death and deadly dangers of the Egyptians. God is present. How is he present? In a pillar of fire. And he is there present with them, and he's rescuing them from this this danger using a pillar. Then you remember that God in Isaiah would say to his prophet who would tell the people of God, you are my people, and I am going to save the nations. How? Through his own people. So what he would say was this, in all of this darkness, in all of the darkness of the pagan nations around the world, every tongue, tribe, and people group, my people are going to shine brightly. And we actually see that as he would glorify himself or help make himself famous. How? Through his own people. And then ultimately we know that in the New Testament, we finally get to see God, and it's not through a pillar of fire. By the way, thank God he isn't still doing that, because I don't think that would help reach me. It would scare me. Pillar of fire, scare me. He doesn't necessarily primarily use his people anymore. Instead, he comes to us through a person, condescending down into the darkness. John chapter 1 says he came and he dwelt where? In the darkness. Who did? Jesus did. The Word. And he shines in the darkness, and he brings light to everyone by doing that. And just as the Israelites were led by the pillar of fire and rescued from their destruction in the wilderness by a pillar of fire, now Jesus saves those who would follow him from the destruction and the dangers of their own sin and darkness in their own personal life. He did it in the Old Testament using a pillar of fire, and he does it now using a person named Jesus. So, let's look at this really quick. You ready? I'm going to show you some scripture text. Are you with me? You ready? That was really, really weak, but that's okay. But that's okay. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light. This is why I'm going to get excited, because this is all a description of who Jesus is. His life brought light to who? To everyone. The light, what does it do? It shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. Also, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is early in the book of John. Early in the gospel, Jesus is described as a light coming into the darkness. He also reveals God to us. Listen to this. But God's unfailing love and faithfulness, how did it come to us? Through Jesus. What came to us through Jesus? God's unfailing love and faithfulness. In other words, if there was no Jesus, there's some questions about God's unfailing love and his faithfulness. But now there isn't, because Jesus came. No one has ever seen God. It's impossible, right? It's impossible to see God. No, not really. Why is that? Because he has revealed us, himself to us. Who did? The unique one, Jesus. So apart from seeing Jesus, we don't see God. If you want to see God, you only have to see the unique one, Jesus. And what does he do? He reveals himself to us through the person of Jesus. How does he do? What does he show us? The exact image of the Father. Christ is the visible image. You can see him. Of the invisible God. So, now, listen, how many of you have ever thought, God help me, I wish God, I could just see him. I wish he had skin. I wish I could really know who he was. He has revealed himself to us. His exact likeness only has to be studied and learned and received in the person of Jesus. You don't have to find him somewhere else. I love this last one too. The Son radiates God's own glory. What does radiating mean? Radiating means giving off light and expresses the very character of God. So what does this mean for you? And by the way, if you're watching us on live stream today or you're here in our church family gathered together and you're kind of on the fence about this Christian faith or this God of the Bible, here's where you can start. You don't have to discover an eternal, limitless, infinite God on your own. You can start by investigating and inspecting Jesus. If you're in junior high and you're trying to sort out this God of the Bible that your church leaders and your family and your family's friends and so on are trying to describe to you, and you're like, I'm short-circuiting, start with Jesus. See Jesus. Learn who he is. Open your eyes and heart to discover God and his glory through Jesus. And what that means is the Christian God of the Bible is not abstract. The Christian God of the Bible is not in the trees to be felt or in the breeze to be felt, or somehow you've got to kind of gather him out of the earth and the ground and the fire and the wind. Did we know that God is the source of all those things? Yes, but he's in the person of Jesus. That means you can, you don't have to define God for yourself. God is to be discovered, not defined. I don't know about you, but I'm relieved by that. I don't have to define God. I just have to discover him. He's there to be discovered. I don't have to make him up. I'm not good at making up stuff. I would rather, and thank God for this, he allows us to discover him. So Jesus is the light of the world, and he allows us to see God, and he also allows us to see our sin and salvation. Now, here's a word that our culture doesn't prefer, sin. And I think in the Christian church, this word has probably grown a little bit dim. It's easy to be kind of desensitized to the word sin. And oftentimes, we just instinctively believe that sin is what someone else does, or it's a concept. But God gives us the ability with the light of Jesus to see our own sin and also to see salvation. Really, check this out. For once you were full of darkness. This is the instructions from Paul the Apostle. He writes God's words to the church at Ephesus, and he says, but now you have light from the Lord. You were once darkness, right? You were in the dark. You didn't know where you were. You were lost and blind, making your own way, trying to figure things out on your own. Instead, now God has given you the light. When you were full of darkness, there was evil and sin and selfishness. There was self-reliance, self-determination, physical death, and spiritual separation from God. But God sent someone to rescue you. And this rescuer appeared in the darkness. This week I tuned into another one of the 195 documentaries on 9/11. Or I should say maybe 195,000 documentaries on 9/11. And one of the key moments in the documentary that I was watching was when the towers collapsed, there was a first responder battalion who were pretty much the first ones on the scene and found themselves under the building. And when the building collapsed, it went dark, as you can imagine, pitch black. But there was someone in the battalion with a life-saving piece of equipment. And it was simple. It was a light. He happened to have a camera with him with a big light on the camera. And do you know that that camera with the light led that battalion, those first responders, to safety? It also helped spare the lives of other people who were lost in the dark. Their lives were in peril, and they were guided out to safety. They were eventually led back home to safety. How did that happen? By the light that appeared in the darkness. The rescuers had a light, and that light saved their lives. Victims who are in danger see their rescuer because of the light. They see the risks because of the light. They see and they're guided to safety and they're led back home and their life is saved. Does everyone see this light? The ones who did are saved. The ones who didn't are lost. And Jesus gives light to everyone, but there are some who don't know Jesus. There are some who don't know the light. And listen to what the Gospel of John and some other places in the Scripture describe about people who reject Jesus or who don't recognize who he is. Here's what the Scripture says. These people are overtaken by the darkness. They will walk in blinding darkness. They will not see God. They will stumble into the landmines of sin and final destruction. Some can't even see their rescuer, Jesus, who is the only solution to be led home. They can't see their own sin, so what do? They do what is right in their own eyes. They have to define right and wrong on themselves. They have to find their way to God on their own. So how do I have the light? How does that happen? Do I just learn some things? Do I just kind of wake up one day and I have this revelation? Here's how. God makes this light to shine in our hearts. God makes it shine in our hearts. Who makes it shine? Do we make it shine? Do we just go, if I could just get this light to shine a little brighter, just work it up, squeeze it out, burn it a little brighter. God does it. Check this out. Love this. Love this. Love this. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine. I love this. God, how did he start? He made light appear. Remember this? This phrase, "let there be light," God's words in a vast creation of darkness. And when he says, "let there be light," what happens? There's light. The same God who said, "let there be light in the darkness," by his word, also now, by the word, Jesus says, "let there be light in the human heart," and light dispels the darkness. Light comes alive. He did it at the beginning, and he does it now in the hearts of his people. And it comes by way of his own word. The human heart now comes alive with the light of Jesus and illuminates the darkness. And check this out. I love this. We could know how. So now that the light is shining in our hearts, now we know the glory of God. Well, what is the glory of God? It's seen in the face of Jesus. He expresses himself fully in the face of Jesus, literally in the face of Jesus. Everything that there is about God expressed in the exact image of Jesus, and you see it right in his face. So how do I know if I have the light? I see, I believe, I accept, I trust, I follow Jesus. You might say, wow, that's a lot of steps. It's all one step. They're all the same versions of the same expression. I see, believe, accept, trust, follow Jesus, right? All those things put together. But to all who believed in him and to all who accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Can you even imagine? John chapter 12, look what he says. The Gospel of John, written by John, and John says, put your trust in the light. Who's the light? Jesus already said, I'm the light. And here we see Jesus referring to himself again, saying, trust in the light. While there is still time, then you will become children of the light. Because you are no longer blind to God, you don't need to self-define or find your way. Love this. You don't have to wander through life finding and defining a God for yourself and on your own. I mean, so many of us, so many people that you might love and talk to, coworkers, classmates, neighbors, loved ones, friends, family, and you listen to somebody and you might be one of them just trying to say, in my mind, God is kind of someone who or something that or whatever. And here's some good news for you this morning. You don't have to define God for yourself. You don't have to invent a God. You don't have to pull in different pieces, an eclectic, Hellenistic type of, conglomeration of what you believe God to be. You don't have to wander through your life finding and defining for yourself a God. and to do it on your own. Why? Because God has revealed himself in the darkness, and he is the person of Jesus, the light of Jesus. It's such a big relief. So how can I know if I'm defining a God for myself? Because it could be tricky, right? How do you know if you're defining God for yourself? I'll give you one example. One way you know you're defining God for yourself is you never disagree with your God. You always agree with the God that has been defined by oneself. No one else has discovered this God. You're the only one who's really discovered him. It's your version. It's your kind of God. No one else has discovered him. No one else has passed him on to someone else. Also, this God doesn't shape you into his image. You shape your God into your image. He becomes what you believe and the way you see the world. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a God that's so small that I could define him and shape him into my own image. I love the idea of submitting myself to a God who transcends my image in myself. Also, you don't have to rely on your efforts to save yourself. You are no longer blind to where your salvation comes. You don't need to trust in your own effort. You don't have to rely on your own efforts to save yourself. So how can I know if I'm relying on my own efforts? How do you know if you're relying on your own efforts? Well, one way is you rarely accept that you need more grace than someone else does. Rarely accept that. That deep in your heart, you believe that grace of God is needed mostly for other people. That's one way to identify that we're not really relying on Jesus and God's grace through Christ alone, but instead relying on ourselves. Also, you tend to be defensive when corrected or convicted or challenged about your own sin. Church family, one of the reasons why Jesus says, I am the light, is so that you and I know where to walk in the darkness of our lives. So you and I know who to cling to. So you and I know where to go when life seems so dark, we're not sure we're going to make it out. Jesus said, I am the light, and you need to remember that it's the light that dispels the darkness out of your soul, out of your marriage, out of your family, out of your parenting, it comes out by way of looking to and loving on and being with and celebrating and worshiping Jesus. And that's how the light slowly dispels the darkness. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, we pray that you would help this Jesus come alive in our hearts. We pray that as those who struggle with the darkness of lostness, the darkness of no knowledge of you, we pray that today they would come to full acceptance, belief, trust, and ultimately they would decide, I'm going to follow this light.